Welcome to the Pedal Revolutionary Show, just another day in the revolution here at CITR 101.9 FM. I'm Ifni. I'll be your host today for the next hour. Dave is also joining me, of course, looking very philosophical today and somewhat hairy. So for all you folks listening out there, we were away for a little while. We weren't here for our last show. I was in the mountains. David was in the water, and now we're back to talk to you about how to make life better. The revolution, of course, is all about quality of life. That's what drives us. The sun is shining, so we can take that off of our to-do list. But we are going to play a little bit of music just so that y'all can kind of enjoy your listening experience a little bit more here on CITR. Go for it, Dave.
Thank you. there is trap set up for you in every corner of this town. And so you learn the only way to go is underground. When there's a trap set up for you in every corner of your room. And so you learn the only way to go is through the room. Crossing border after border, we realize the difference is none. It's underdog zoo, and if you want it, you always have to make your own fun. And I see upper dog leisurely sighing, the local cultures are dying and dying. The programmed robots are buying and buying, and oh, secluded freaks, they are still trying, trying. Scouts learn to read between the lines. The silver rabbits hop between their father's lies. And Boy Scouts ask, Pa, where do they go? They go to the country that they only know. Just like the meanings, they lay between the lines. Between the borders, the real countries hide. Strategy was so they advertise. Their strategy of being is one of in your face disguise. Oh, 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 through the roof, underground. Crumble, and all the systems will be discombobled around the stump of bigotry alone. Серебряные зайцы водят хоровод. Oh,
We steal our gas from Exxon and Texaco. We pirate our software. Fill out your taxes any way you like, long as you don't pay your share. The fancy car, the limousine, ought to smash it up.
That was a pretty awesome set. You first listened to Gogolo Bordello, Through the Roof and Underground, which if you like indie movies, you would have heard that on Wrist Cutter's Love Story. And the last song was, and I'm going to screw this name up, Itch Kung, probably not right, but Smash Things Up. And that's some good punk music.
If you're out there and you know the correct pronunciation, I don't know, Ich Kang, you could call us and let us know. It's 604 UBCCITR is our number here. And let's talk a little bit about the revolution. I know I mentioned quality of life. Underground, of course, the sun is shining and the skies are blue and information wants to be free. And one of the essential components to democracy, anarchy, consent to governance and true love is, of course, information. And so we're going to talk a little bit today about some of the things that are happening in the community that have to do with freedom of information and access to information and freedom of media and media democracy. There's some events coming up that I just want to mention to you. And I know this is largely a bicycle radio show, but really, if we want to see representations of alternative lifestyle and if we want to see representations of things that are maybe not in the mainstream, then it's really important to support alternative media, of which we are a part. So I do want to mention that Media Democracy Day is coming up on October the 25th, and there is going to be a planning meeting for it, and you're strongly encouraged to get involved. Some good organizing skills are definitely needed, and also just interest. Now, so there is a planning meeting coming up Monday, September the 15th. That's going to be at 7 p.m., and there is actually a mailing list if you're interested in getting on that. If you want to join the mailing list for it, go to https://lists.riseup.net/www/info/MDD Van City. You can also email pedalrevolutionary@gmail.com if you didn't get all that down. And that, again, is a planning mailing list for Media Democracy Day coming up. And again, that meeting will be on the 15th. And email me, I'll tell you where it's at. And there's a couple of websites if you want a little bit of background information about what the heck I'm talking about. There is a campaign for democratic media. You can go to democraticmedia.ca. You can also go to mediademocracyday.org, and that is an event that happens all in different cities across the country. The Vancouver details are not up yet, but again, as I said, it's October the 25th. Also upcoming this Friday, the last Friday of this month is going to be a day of choices for you. There's lots of stuff happening. Of course, the venerable Critical Mass will be happening, it being the last Friday of the month. And so that, of course, is where you meet at the Vancouver Art Gallery at 5:30. And everybody rides at 6 p.m. It's a family-paced ride, so no racing ahead, please. And everybody stick together like a big kind of bicycle Borg. And that if you want more information about that, you can do a search under Velo Love or Critical Mass Vancouver. Look on Wikipedia. There's a lot of background information about how it came to be and what some of the reasons are that people ride on that bicycle ride. Also coming up on that same day is actually right after Critical Mass, as usual, there'll be something happening at the ANZA. And Friday night should be somewhat interesting, actually. There's going to be a panel discussion, actually. So it's called Towards a Car-Free City Civic Election Discussion Forum. It should be kind of exciting. So I'll read you a little brief description here. It says, should we move towards a car-free city? And if so, how do we do it? I love it when people ask rhetorical questions and then they like say, let's talk about how we actually implement it. The topic is going to be discussed between community leaders and candidates running in the upcoming civic elections. So it's a nice opportunity to be able to actually get your first sniff at some of our candidates who are going to be in the hot seat for the mayoral race. That is, again, Friday, September the 26th at 7:30 at the ANZA Club. That's number 3 West 8th. And there's a suggested donation at the door of $5. And the forum will be followed by a dance party with DJ Timothy Wisdom, Jack Fruit, and Tangerine Smile, which are doing burlesque. Now, the people who are confirmed to be going at this point, we've got Andrea Reimer from Vision, Ellen Wordsworth from COPE, Ivan Dumanik from the Workless Party, Carmen Mills, a cyclist, and Richard Campbell, another cyclist. I'm going to be facilitating or moderating the discussion, and apparently the rule of the conversation is that the cyclists on the panel are not allowed to endorse or attack the candidates, and they're there to speak about personal experiences and put forward ideas that they would like to see and ask questions. And of course, I'm sure there will be something of an opportunity for the audience to also have their input as well. So yeah, you can get your election hat on early. Now, also on Friday, September the 26th, there's something, CanWest Media Bully. There's going to be some talk about, you probably have heard or you may not have heard about the three activists being sued by CanWest for, quote, conspiring to produce and distribute a parody of the Vancouver Sun, which was which satirized their coverage of Israel-Palestine. So those three people who are being sued are going to be appearing. There's going to be a free presentation and panel discussion, and that's going to be again at Rhizome Cafe. That's 317 Broadway in Vancouver. So Mordecai Breenberg, Carol Moisevich. Oh, I'm terrible at. I don't have my accent hat on either today. Moisevich and Gordon Murray are all going to be there. And if you want more info, you can email info@seriouslyfreespeech.ca or go to their website. That's seriouslyfreespeech.ca. We're going to be talking a little bit later about elections in another place. We have the Stimulator is going to be joining us from Submedia TV. He's going to talk to us a little bit about his journey into the darkness that are the national conventions in the U.S. of A. He was there for both the Republican National Convention and the Democratic National Convention. We're going to play a little bit of footage from that experience. There is one more event listing, David. Do you want to just talk about that?
Sure. One of our listeners called in and wanted to remind us that this Saturday is the first Vancouver Police all-bike auction. They didn't get rid of all their bicycles from their auction a couple weeks ago, I guess, for seized property. And I guess they don't want to store the 374 bicycles that are left over. Today was the preview, which is no good for anybody listening right now, at Able Auctions. And I guess you got to call the cops to find out where this auction is taking place. I don't know exactly where, but this Saturday, maybe you can get a cheap titanium racing bike.
Mm-hmm. So if you're going to call the cops and ask about the bikes, maybe don't call the emergency line. Call the non-emergency line. They may be able to give you some details. And yeah, so thank you to the person who called in. If you do have other events that we haven't mentioned, feel free to give us a call. You can also send an email to pedalrevolutionary@gmail.com if you want to give us some feedback or a heads up about something that's going to be coming to town or happening or people that you'd like to hear from in the community. Also, we have a website. It's pedalrev.blogspot.com. And now let's go and let's hear something from the front lines that the Stimulator put together.
The following clip may contain coarse language.
What we're seeing here in Denver, and as we are going to see in St. Paul, is a microcosm of how this war operates and how this society operates. The corporations are in total control. The corporations are driving the agenda.
It's the end of the world as we know it. I feel fine.
Good morning, slaves, and welcome to another edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine, the show where we kill our heroes. I'm your host, The Stimulator, and yesterday was a super fucking eventful day. The biggest fucking disappointment was Chuck D, a public enemy, who apparently gulped a whooping tasty swig of Iraq Berry Kool-Aid.
So whatever goes on down in the arenas in Vesco Field tomorrow, we hope that it's just a forward look that in positivity that has got to be better than the last 8 years where the haves have just run rampant over the have-nots and the have-nots have been increasing.
As we reported yesterday, the poll rated unconventional actions convergence space. Here's Michael Gonzalez of the band The 9-11s, who was present at the scene.
Well, my band's on tour right now. We have a bus that runs on veggie oil, and we had it in the back when we were working on it. And next thing we know, about over a dozen, say maybe 18 riot cops on bikes come up and just kind of start snooping around a bit. And the person who owns the bus actually went out and started to engage in conversation with them, see what they're doing, let them know that, like, you know, this is our bus. If it needs to be moved, it can be moved. And then we totally legally leased this space for the time. The cops came up and just got the bulldozer and just started loading everything into the bucket of the bulldozer. People's personal belongings. I know a tent got taken. All of the paint, the banners, all the poles to hold banners with. Told everybody that they're in the back of the building that it'd be considered trespassing and they'd be subject to arrest.
This all happened while everyone was out at a Rage Against the Machine show. Following the rage show, the crowd joined the Iraq Veterans Against the War march for 4 fucking miles towards the Pepsi Center. This has been the largest protest of the DNC to date, with over 10,000 showing solidarity.
Yes, we can! Yes, we can! Yes, we can!
Sir, woman, we're going to remember this. We're going to remember. We appreciate your concern for us, but we're going to remember. Throughout your election, we're going to hold it to you.
Yep.
And if you're not accountable in this, there will be more protests.
Once the vets reached the Freedom Cage, a member of their crew delivered a letter to an Obama lackey, demanding to meet with the candidate. The Obama dude came back and promised that Obama would meet with them and chill motherfuckers out. I would like to remind the vets of what Professor Churchill told us earlier this week.
My first campaign, although I was not in a position to vote age-wise, was around Goldwater. Okay, and I opposed Goldwater because I hung out with an older crew because I was big. Mm-hmm. I didn't want my friends going to Vietnam. Mm-hmm. For reasons that none of us could understand. Well, we beat Goldwater, and we all went to Vietnam.
To the gates of the Democratic National Convention, and if we can't get in and the Secret Service doesn't allow us in, we will ask for a delegate to come out, and if the delegate does not come out to accept our letter and accept the symbol of the trifolded American flag as the token of our grief for the brothers and sisters who have lost their lives in Iraq, we are prepared to we are prepared to risk arrest and get our message across.
Today, Denver gets ready for the biggest rock concert in history, and one that will be broadcast live worldwide. Barack and the Democrats promise to hypnotize rabid fans into a new type of reality, with a massive light show, outrageous sets, extra-large high-def video screens, and fireworks. Over in the real world of Baghdad and Kabul, bombs rock the homes of civilians, suspected insurgents are detained and tortured, and the body count rises on a daily. Obama will paint a pretty little picture of the world he envisions, but meanwhile he flip-flops on his positions on Iraq and is aiming his potential military cock at Afghanistan and Iran. Last month, this show broke the censored speech by shock doctoring author Naomi Klein. I think it's about time I bring that shit back out again.
Obama may have the energy and the anger and the networks of the anti-war vote, but he does not have a plan to get us out of Iraq. What he has is a plan to downsize the occupation of Iraq, not to end it. He talks about keeping the green zone intact and calls that ending the war. Let me tell you, you cannot keep the green zone, which is the symbol of the foreign occupation of Iraq, without a massive troop presence that includes the military contractors like Blackwater as well.
Yep, Obama is not only about to become a slave of the military-industrial complex, but also a spokesperson of our failed corporate capitalist state. Here's Jeremy Scahill, Democracy Now! Correspondent and author of Blackwater, The Rise of the World's Largest Private Army.
What we're seeing here in Denver, and as we are going to see in St. Paul, is a microcosm of how this war operates and how this society operates. The corporations are in total control. The corporations are driving the agenda. When it comes to war and political conventions, there is not a Democratic Party and a Republican Party. There's a corporatist party, which represents both of those constituencies. And as much as the rhetoric of the Obama campaign is about hope and change, he put the nail in the coffin of any honesty to that statement when he selected Joe Biden as his running mate. Joe Biden is not just one of those Democrats who now turns around and says, oh, I made a mistake in my vote to authorize the war. Some won't even go that far to admit that their vote was a mistake. But for Biden to simply end his involvement with saying, well, it was a mistake and now I'm going to join Barack and we're going to be critical of the war, is to whitewash his entire history in cheerleading this war. You see, Joseph Biden was the chair of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee in 2002. The Democrats were in control of the Senate at the time that the invasion and occupation of Iraq was supposed to be, or supposedly being, debated. Now, Joe Biden refused to call any witnesses to testify at those crucial hearings that he chaired that would say anything outside of the parameters that were defined as such. Bomb the hell out of Iraq or bomb them and invade them. Those were the parameters set by Joseph Biden in the Senate.
And there you have it. As Obama speaks to 70,000 sheeple tonight, submedia relocates to St. Paul, where part two of the spectacle we call democracy continues. Stay tuned to my fucking website, stimulator.tv, for RNC rebellion coverage from the streets of the Twin Cities, where corporate media bootlickers dare not tread. See you next week, suckers.
Okay, so as usual, we have ourselves barricaded in the studio. You're listening to 101.9 FM CITR. And yeah, it's Pedal Revolutionary Show. I'm Ifni, and that was the stimulator bringing us the good word from Submedia. So if you want to see more information about that television station for the nation, go to submedia.tv. And also, all of the DNC dispatches that were put out, if you want to see the picture that goes along with the audio, you can go to http radio.indymedia.org/en/node/16994 if you want to see the some of the MP3s. Sorry, not the TV that goes with the audio, but just the MP3s. If you want to see the TV, you got to go to submedia.tv. And speaking of television personalities, we have the Stimulator live on air. Stimulator, are you there?
I am here.
Are you stimulated?
I am here indeed. I think that all this hard work has finally caught up with me, and I'm feeling a little sick, but I'll hang in there for y'all.
Amazing. So you're overstimulated.
I'm totally overstimulated. You know, when you are in an occupied city, it's very stimulating. When you're eating spring rolls and drinking beer, as riot police and protesters are battling, like, right next to you, that's very stimulating.
Wow. So now you've just gotten back to town. How long were you gone for? And tell us where you went and what you did on your vacation.
Vacation? I started the trip by going to Denver in Colorado for the to do coverage for the street level actions during the Democratic National Convention. It was basically the coronation of Barack Obama. Not as much dissent as I would like to see, but there was enough to actually cause the cops to justify their $50 million budget that was given to them by the Department of Homeland Security. So I started there. It was a very interesting experience, and I can go in depth in a little bit. And once Barack was speaking, I was in the air flying to St. Paul, where the Republican National Convention and John McCain's coronation was about to happen. Again, covering street level dissent.
Mm-hmm. And now I know that there was an incident that maybe is of particular interest to cyclists. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. This was in St. Paul. September 1st, which is Labor Day, is when all the big actions were going to happen, all the big direct actions, I should say. But there was a peaceful march, and there was a lot of police on bicycles, and there were also cyclists around there, behind them, in front of them, to the side of them. And this young cyclist, about 19 years of age, I guess he was either going fast or too close to a female police officer who was also on a bicycle, and she hit her brakes really hard, and he didn't have enough time to react, so he rear-ended her, and they both fell. Not a terrible accident, but even though she protested to the other officers that the young man had not meant any foul, that it was a real accident, the other police officers didn't care and proceeded to throw him in the back of an unmarked police car. This is a side story. My camera person was also arrested that day in a different location, I guess for filming what was happening in the streets, and he was on the cell right next to him. He actually got to hang out with him, with the gentleman who got taken away by the police. And long story long, the kid came out in a press conference, all bruised, and made allegations that he was tortured in jail, and tortured like you would see in the movies. Put a bag over his face, put a gag on his mouth while having the bag over his face, vomiting inside the bag, beaten his legs, his feet spread apart as far as much pain as he could take for, you know, a couple hours. And that is America. Or that is America, over there, because we don't do that in Canada. We just let America do it for us.
Now, I mean, it seems really bizarre, right? So why do you think this is becoming more common in in maybe law enforcement reaction to events like this, this kind of severity? Or do you think it's a trend, or maybe
well,
it's a one-off?
Well, in this particular case, well, actually, I have some interest in an analysis for you.
Mm.
This type of behavior has been happening to people of color in the United States for a long, long time. So it has not happened to me, but, you know, I know people, I've heard stories, and it's bad nonetheless. It happened to a white person, a Chinese person, anybody who it happens to is a really, really bad thing. I just think that the white suburban American is the holy cow, is the one person that the cops don't want to touch. But I think that as they ramp up the police, they're trying to get us used to the idea of white people being tortured in jail. But in the particular instance of St. Paul, the Republican National Committee gave the police department an insurance, a little insurance money. They gave them $10 million. For any future lawsuits that they might be engaged in. Essentially, they gave the cops a license to act like jerks, and they did. And you know, the torture is only part of it. I mean, to me, one of the most shocking things is that one, the independent media force that was there covering what was happening in the streets was targeted, and they were targeted, and two of my camera persons were arrested. Another Portland indie media videographer was arrested. Other indie media people that I don't know where they're from were arrested. Amy Goodman, Sharif Abdel Kadus, and Nicole Salazar from Democracy Now, the widely known lefty news program, were also arrested. So they don't want to see dissent. What's happening inside of these conventions is a dog and pony show. It's a beauty pageant, and all the attention should be inside where the lights and the beautiful sets are happening, and not outside where, you know, even somebody who I don't really particularly like very much, Ron Paul from his own party, held a massive peaceful rally, and nobody fucking heard about it. Nobody heard about the police beating up everybody. Nobody heard about 400 arrests last Thursday, where there were 400 people face down on the pavement with plastic handcuffs behind their back.
I watched all your dispatches every day they came out, and I've been in street protests like Quebec City back in 2001. I noticed that the police in the States are starting to get pretty, RoboCop looking, pretty scary looking with the equipment that they, I guess all their money's purchasing them. And I'm wondering your opinion on, this is going to get CSIS listening to this show, but when do you think the protesters start picking up guns and start shooting back? Because it seems like the more the police become more militaristic and they make a joke of peaceful protest, and the more the politicians don't allow peaceful protest to actually do anything anymore, do you ever think that there'd be a time we see in the States, I would say first, that we start seeing real violent protests, like with guns?
I think the only way that's ever going to happen is if the people protesting are also starving. I think that this is, if you look at, and again, it comes down to race and class, right? If you look at the makeup of the people who go to these protests, and these are people I really support, and I wouldn't be going to cover it if I didn't support them. But, you know, most of them are, you know, middle-class white folks who, after the protest is over, can go home and have a hot meal and a hot shower and a bed to sleep in, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I don't think they see this as a game. I think they truly believe that they are risking, you know, life and limb, and I commend them for that. But the consequences for picking up a gun and shooting at a cop are way higher than, you know, misdemeanor, unlawful assembly, for instance, which is what a lot of people over there are getting. So I'm not saying that I'm hoping for one or the other. I'm just thinking that the economy really has to tank for people to really see the economic consequences. I mean, the third world has to be brought to us first before we can start acting like third world revolutionaries.
That's fair to say.
I think it raises an interesting point, too. I was reading something recently about the militarization of civilian life or life on the streets in North America. It's becoming more commonplace. But you look at countries that have conscription and having military presence on the streets is relatively normal. The main difference is that the people who comprise that military are young men who serve their time in the army, and they're indistinguishable in that sense from everyday civilians. So it's not kind of felt like it's an outside force, and those individuals are, I guess, feel they're not alienated from the people that they're there supposedly protecting. And they do a lot of public works, right? They're like digging ditches and doing things like that. The difference is, of course, in North America, we don't have that visually, and we don't have that on a daily basis. And when you were telling the story about this young man being taken into custody, it made me think of Guantanamo Bay, and I guess that's kind of what I was wondering too with my question is do you think that the way that detainees, foreign nationals, are being treated, do you think that that's affecting regular law enforcement in the United States?
That's like a hard question to answer because, you know, I'm not a cop.
We know that.
I do certainly think, thank God. But I do certainly think that the fact that the president almost comes out and condones torture, even though it's all a language game to them, right? Mm-hmm. But just for our purposes, he condones torture. And then he's got all his legal teams maneuvering to look for new definitions and so forth and so on. You know, this is, you know, if you're on my side of the spectrum, you're in the left side, and even if you're not on the left side, there's a lot of people who just really fucking hate George Bush, right? Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of people who don't, and they see him as a hero to this day, even though, you know, the war is a disaster, even though the economy is a disaster, but that he's the commander-in-chief of the army and the nation, and that's the way they see him. So when they see somebody of his stature condoning it, then they must think that, well, you know, if the president's saying it's okay to do it to terrorists, mm-hmm. then it's fine.
The ends justify the means,
of course. In comes in the word terrorist. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say then the ends justify the means. It seems to be the position that's promoted there.
Right. Well, you know, what we've seen, especially in St. Paul, is that the word terrorist started being thrown around to describe the protesters. Mm. So, you know,
wow.
I don't know if the cops are very smart or if they're just using these things to their advantage, these linguistic correlations, you know. I mean, they don't call it torture. They call it pain compliance. They're not protesters. They're terrorists. You know, it gets a little funky in there, but in the end, that's what happened. And every single time, and we can talk about the raids that happened in St. Paul if you want, because everybody got raided in one way or another. But in every single warrant that they used to raid legitimate groups, there was always the implication of terrorism or explosive device or kidnapping. You know, things that just are ludicrous, you know, that none of these people who were being searched or raided would ever do.
Don't forget the urine throwing. The urine throwing is important to remember. That's the new tool of the protesters,
that's
urine
right.
and feces.
If you're not a real revolutionary unless you're throwing piss and bodily fluids, right? What were just? Can you just briefly mention a few
I personally had a couple of super soakers.
Can you briefly
mention
a couple of the names?
I'm a little excited.
Are you excited? You're stimulating with the super soaker. Can you just mention a couple of the groups that were targeted just so that people have an idea? Because it's kind of maybe vague for people to understand, well, they were targeting groups and they had warrants to go into these places, but to maybe show some of the absurdity.
Right. Well, it's actually, you know, it was very tactical of them, right? But in Denver, it was a group called Unconventional Action, and they are the ones who organized the main protest and all the speakers and the events for the street descent that was happening And basically, in as you saw, there was a Rage Against the Machine concert. And while everybody was at the Rage Against the Machine concert, they went to the Unconventional Action Space. They brought a little mechanical, what do you call those things? That they used to tear down houses in Gaza.
Bulldozers?
Caterpillar?
Or backhoe, could be a backhoe.
Front-loading.
Oh, front loader.
Yeah. So they brought one of those fucking things, and, you know, there was three people in there, and they were scared to death because there's all these damn cops, you know, surrounding the place with guns drawn. And you know what they took? They took their sign-making materials. They took the paint. They took fabric. They took poster make. You know, it's just ridiculous. So, you know, that's just one of the ridiculousness. But in St. Paul, they started with the RNC Welcoming Committee, which were the main organizers of the protests of the streets. And they were all watching a movie when they got raided. And there were kids and elderly people there. And all these cops show up with their guns drawn. And then, you know, you looked at the warrants and it was for explosives and stuff like that.
What movie was they watching?
Then on Saturday, they... You know what? Yeah, I should have had you there with me because, you know, I never thought to ask. I was just like, that's ludicrous. But, you know, maybe they were watching, you know, some sort of Al-Qaeda movie. Who knows, right?
Or maybe it was E.T. Oh, my God. Get them. I should mention to the listeners there that there is a delay in our phone connection because we're in our bunker here at the studio and you're in your bunker there out in where I'm not going to say, right, Simulator?
That's right.
Okay. Now, one last question. I
so,
just want.
Anyway,
oh, go ahead.
No, I just want to mention the last group real quickly. Now we're running out of time. We're running out of time. it's a cop watch group called Eyewitness Video, and they are from New York City. And in 2004, there's a great film about the 2004 Republican National Convention, Critical Mass. And Eyewitness was very much involved in videotaping police abuses during that mass and also throughout the convention. And since they are pretty, you know, kick-ass, and they were able to get activists out of all these trumped-up charges and also sue the police department for abuse, they decided to go to the Republican National Convention to, you know, act as a shield for activists to exercise their right to protest. And they targeted them. And these are, you know, journalists, these are videographers, these are volunteers, people who are coming and giving their own time, you know, just to videotape, to make sure the police, you know, don't act out. And the police knew that. And the police knew they were coming. So the police constantly harassed them. Even the week before the convention started, they were being detained, their stuff seized. That Saturday, they got raided. And then that following Wednesday, they got raided again. And it's like they're not even hiding the fact of what they're doing. They're just full on. You know, we tactically these are our enemies, and we're going to neutralize them before the war begins.
And this was the last question that I wanted to ask you. And I think it's a little bit hard for Canadians to understand, myself included. You know, there's the Republican National Convention. If you have all these people who hate George Bush so much, why do they go to protest the DNC as well?
Well, it's. I mean, that's the one thing that I'm constantly telling Americans. And me being an American, I still care very much about what happens down there. And basically, you know, corporations rule the political system in the United States. And you know, Nader basically was the big proponent of this in 2000 when he was saying there's no difference between Al Gore and George Bush, and there really wasn't. I mean, Al Gore might have put a friendlier face to the same type of fascism, but it's the same thing. And you know, even when you look at Bill Clinton, those 8 years of Bill Clinton, as soon as Clinton took office, all he did was hire all Republican Reagan-type economists, and you know, he passed NAFTA and he killed a whole bunch of Iraqi babies. You know, and it's. It's an illusion that the Democrats are a gentler, more civil rights-oriented party. They are both owned by similar interests. And, you know, Barack Obama, you know, it's already owned by the nuclear industry. He's owned by the coal industry. And so, you know, if there's people out there who care for the environment and really think that Barack Obama is going to be a solution to that, I have some good news or some bad news for you. So, yeah, it's important that people let both parties know because, as Naomi Klein said in her speech, Barack Obama actually started his campaign with some pretty righteous ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And as he now that he's clinched the nomination, he's slowly moving more towards the center and a little bit over to the right. So all the people that actually put him in the position to be a candidate should hold his feet to the fire and say, like, listen, just because mm-hmm. we voted for you in the primary doesn't mean we're going to vote for you for president, and really force him to stick to the things that he said he was for. Now, again, I don't think, you know, we really don't have a choice in the United States. So it's either that diddle-dee or twiddle-dum. So I usually do, as many people call, throwing out your vote. And I usually vote for Ralph Nader. And this year I will vote for Cynthia McKinney for the Green Party in the United States.
Stimulator, thank you so much for stimulating us.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Right
I'm ready to stimulate anybody at any moment.
I love it. And if you want to be stimulated, you can go to submedia.tv. And, you know, I think Barack Obama missed a really good opportunity to walk out there and really connect with some of the people who could be fervent, fervent supporters of his. We're going to go with a little bit of music. Comments, questions, questionnaires, send them to pedalrevolutionary@gmail.com. Thanks, y'all. Be safe. See you in a couple weeks.
The following track is actually from a band from Denver who was at the DNC and active in politics. They're called the Flowbots, and the track is called Handlebars, and the music video for this is a cartoon, and I suggest you go out and see it on their website or YouTube, and if it doesn't make you cry or if it doesn't affect you some way, there's something wrong with you. You're not human, and you should, I don't know, seek help or something like that.
But can have robots in the revolution. It is important for our robot brethren to also get on board. But
I suggest everybody crank this up because the horn section is absolutely amazing.
I can ride my bike with no handlebars, no handlebars, no handlebars. I can ride my bike with no handlebars, no handlebars, no handlebars. Look at me, look at me, hands in the air like it's good to be alive. But I'm a famous rapper, even when the paths are all crooked. I can show you how to do-si-do. I can show you how to scratch a record. I can take apart the remote control, but I can almost put it back together. I can tie a knot in a cherry stem. I can tell you about Leif Erikson. I know all the words to De Colores, and I'm proud to be an American. Me and my friend saw a platypus. Me and my friend made a comic book, and guess how long it took. I can do anything that I want, cause look, I can keep rhythm with no metronome. No metronome, no metronome. And I can see your face on the telephone, on the telephone, on the telephone. Look at me, just called to say that it's good to be alive. In such a small world, I'm all curled up with a book to read. I can make money, open up a thrift store. I can make a living off a magazine. I can design an engine, 64 miles to a gallon of gasoline. I can make new antibiotics. I can make computers survive aquatic conditions. I know how to run the business, and I can make you want to buy a product. Movers, shakers, and producers. Me and my friends understand the future. I see the strings that control the system. I can do anything with no resistance, because I can lead a nation with a microphone. With a microphone, with a microphone. And I can split the atom of a molecule, of a molecule, of a molecule. To be alive and on top.
My reach is global, my tower secure. My cause is noble, my power is pure. I can hand out a million vaccinations, or let them all die in exasperation. Have them all healed from the lacerations, have them all killed by assassination. I can make anybody go to prison just because I don't like them. And I can do anything with no permission. I have it all under my command because I can guide a missile by satellite, by satellite, by satellite. And I can hit a target through a telescope, through a telescope, through a telescope. And I can end the planet in a holocaust, 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 in a holocaust.
I fight with no handlebars, no handlebars, no handlebars. I can ride my bike with no handlebars, no handlebars, no handlebars.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
fun.
While
fun
cloaks itself in a plethora of disguises, its favorite mantle still remains
fun. Fun
devours all it touches, its voracious appetite rarely fulfilled. Yet
fun
doesn't only destroy, it creates and molds as well. Molds as well. Let's examine closely then this dangerously evil creation, this new breed. But a word of caution, handle it with care and don't drop your guard. This rapacious new breed prowls both alone and in packs, operating at any level, any time, anywhere, and with anybody. Who are they? Who are they?
CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.